It's not that long since we considered this chapter in its entirety. It's maybe a little over a year ago that we worked our way rather slowly through Romans chapter 8. But as I was thinking, we're working our way through precious promises of God over the summer months. And there's a promise at the start of this chapter that we really didn't get to do justice to. Even though we were working slowly through the chapter, we didn't really get to do justice to Romans 8, verse 1. Whether or not this evening does justice to it, I dare not say. But we seek to read verses 1 to 4 this evening, but focusing on verse 1 of the chapter. So let's read Romans 8 from verse 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. So our promise this evening is found in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Here is a thrilling promise from God this evening that should fill every heart present here with hope. There's no better news than Romans 8, verse 1. Any thinking mind, any thinking soul should be eager to receive and unfold and learn and love the promise offered here in Romans 8, verse 1. It's a promise that can completely change your outlook, transform your whole perspective in life. A promise of no condemnation. But it's not just a forward-looking promise. Because with the word therefore, when Paul says there is therefore now no condemnation, he's looking backwards with that word. He's following up on all that he said so far in this letter, the first seven chapters. It's almost as if he's saying, in view of what we've been considering, in light of everything so far, in view of the fact that we're sinners by birth, deserving God's wrath, in view of the fact that Christ died and was raised again, in view of the fact that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's therefore this promise for you. It's an interesting verse in the original, in the Greek. When Paul wrote it, he used a different word order. When New Testament writers wanted to emphasize a particular word, that they didn't repeat it. Now, that was much more an Old Testament technique of repeating a word for emphasis. But when New Testament writers wanted to stress a word, they would put it at the start of the sentence, near the beginning of the sentence. It's this way it's their way of saying, this bit is important. Notice this. Pay attention to this. And in the Greek, the first word of this promise isn't the word there. And it's not the word therefore. And it's not the word now. The first word in the verse is the word no. No. It's the fifth word in our translation, but it's the first in the original. Paul is wanting to emphasize in the strongest possible way, there's no condemnation. And it's not even the normal word for no. It's his strongest way of saying no in the language he has. There is therefore no condemnation, none whatsoever, for the believer in Christ Jesus. So friends, here is a strong promise, a certain promise of no condemnation. But if that was all you left with this evening, that, well, Romans 8:1, it's a strong, forceful promise, I'm afraid you would be a bit shortchanged. There is so much here for us. And maybe to help us chew over and to suck the goodness out of this promise, we want to ask a few questions of it this evening. Four questions lined up to interrogate this wonder of a promise. We'll begin firstly by trying to clear any confusion out of the way. And we'll ask firstly, what does no condemnation not mean? So what does this promise not mean? What does no condemnation not mean? What's Paul not saying in this verse? Well, he isn't saying there will be no suffering. He is not saying that. Every Christian should know that. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. We shouldn't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes at us to test us as if something strange were happening to us. Paul himself spoke of his thorn in the flesh. So he's not saying no suffering. Nor is he saying no disciplining. The Bible clearly teaches that those whom God loves, he sometimes disciplines. And if we're not chastened and disciplined, you would question whether you're God's children. So he's not saying no disciplining. As a father with his son, God treats us. Nor is Paul saying there will never be condemning voices in our lives. Because the truth is, sometimes other men and women do condemn us, sometimes justly. Sometimes our own conscience condemns us, falling into the same sin again and again. We condemn ourselves sometimes. Sometimes Satan condemns us. There isn't a single Christian in this room who hasn't been condemned by the devil at one time or another. No hope for you, he says. You've behaved so badly, God will never forgive you. You're just acting as if you're a Christian. You're nothing but a hypocrite. Those flaming arrows coming your way. Let's remember, the devil is a tireless accuser. One of his titles in Revelation is the accuser of the brethren. So Paul isn't saying there will be no condemning voices in our lives. Nor is he saying there is no cause for condemnation. Because we all fail, don't we? We stumble. We go off the path every day. Let's be honest, most of the time, we're just barely making it through. And Paul isn't saying that there's no cause for condemnation in us. Because if God were to look down from heaven and to judge us moment by moment, he would find plenty of faults within us. That's not what he's saying either. So these opening words, they're not saying, so this is all what it's not saying. They're not saying no suffering, no disciplining, no condemning voices of any kind. It says none of those things. What then is it saying? What does no condemnation mean? That's our second question. What does no condemnation mean? Well, this word condemnation, it comes from the law court. It means to consider as guilty. It means to pass the sentence of death, condemned. Now, the reality of man's situation is that he is under condemnation. Time and time again, the Bible condemns sinful men and women. The Bible tells us not only are we under condemnation, but it's just. Here Paul's saying, though, for some people, there's no condemnation. There's no guilty verdict for these people. There's no death sentence. And the force of that no, remember, is extremely strong. It almost explodes in your face. No condemnation whatsoever. Though you may see much in your life that discourages you, and though there is much that grieves you and shames you, Paul says, you're free from the sentence of divine condemnation. There is no condemnation. Though you may hear the condemning voices of others, your own conscience perhaps, Satan himself and his accusing of you, there's no condemnation from God, Paul says. It's one of the most wonderful, wonderful truths, that God will never, ever condemn you. Not at all. He'll never reject you just because you struggle. And even when he needs to discipline, he's still not condemning you. Do you know what that means? That you may struggle, but you're not condemned. You may stumble, but you're not condemned. You may fall, but you're not condemned. You may stray off the path, and we do countless times, but we're not condemned, because God has said he will not condemn those in Christ Jesus. We may make 1,000 mistakes, and we do. We may have 1,000 problems, and we have. But for the believer in Christ, there is no condemnation, because God says so. He doesn't reject those who are his. He doesn't turn us aside. He doesn't kick us out of the family. I wonder if there's any truth more important than this, more satisfying and liberating than this. No condemnation. How terrible is the notion that after death you should be condemned to purgatory for hundreds or thousands of years, where your remaining sin is somehow purged out of your system until finally, through the repeated prayers and masses of churches and priests, somehow then you're released into heaven. Is that what lies before you and me? Condemned to purgatory. What's Paul saying? There is therefore no condemnation for our sins whatsoever. There isn't even a hint of God's condemnation hanging over you. What does this mean? Not guilty. No death sentence here. So, what does this not mean? What does it mean? Thirdly, for whom is there no condemnation? For whom is there no condemnation? Who are these people delivered from this condemnation? Well, this promise, it's not addressed to Nero in his palace, or to the Roman Senate, or to the gladiators, or the Roman army. It's not even addressed to the whole population of Rome. It's not addressed to the whole of mankind, this promise. We're told exactly who is delivered from condemnation in this promise. They're described as those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, not everyone can say, no condemnation for me. Not everyone can say that. Only those in Christ Jesus. Not everyone is in Christ. Some are and some are not. Paul clearly assumes that everywhere in his writings. There are those in Christ and there are those outside, says Paul. Paul isn't a universalist. He says explicitly in Romans 9, verse 3, he says with grief, really, that there are those accursed, separated from Christ, and there are those united to Christ. And those who are united to Christ, they're not described as perfect people, sinless people. They're not described as those who have lived blameless lives. They're not the super saints, the ones that really grit the teeth and get on with it. No, there are those who have been united to Christ. And you'll never meet a Christian who isn't united to Jesus Christ. They wouldn't be a Christian outside of him. Every Christian united with Christ. The connection is vital, says Paul. These people delivered from this condemnation, do you see that they've all got to be connected in this way to the Lord Jesus Christ? Every single one of them. It's their only way of deliverance. You and Jesus have got to be together. If you're not a Christian this evening, you should know if you keep on living your life apart from Christ, only one thing will happen to you, and that's that you'll be condemned. You'll be condemned. You can't avoid that outside of Christ. Millions of better people than you have tried, and they've all failed, and they're all in hell today. But everyone who'll be in the presence of God in the new heavens and the new earth will be there because they're in Christ. You see, on the cross, Jesus bore the immeasurable burden of our condemnation. You could say he was condemned in our place. He suffered the death sentence, the guilty verdict in our place. But he's not suffering condemnation any longer, and he never will. And so neither can we. Neither can we. It would be impossible for God to condemn Christ, and so he can't condemn those in Christ. Do you see why it's so important to get in Jesus Christ, to be joined to him forever and ever? How do you do that? Well, by believing in him, by entrusting to him, just the way you step on a lift, entrusting yourself that stepping into this lift will get you to your desired designation. You place all your weight into this lift. I hope none of you have a fear of lifts, otherwise the illustration is terrible. We place all our faith in Jesus. And if God should ask, well, why should I pardon you? Why should I not condemn you? Our only answer is because I'm in Jesus, because of him. It might help to think of the condemnation that came on the world at the great flood. That was a flood of condemnation, wasn't it? 8 men and women were saved. Why? Because of what they were in. They were in the ark, and they were safe and secure in the ark. And all around them there was torrents of rain. Beneath them the fountains of the deep opening up. But they were safe in the ark. So it is with the condemned and guilty sinner. Jesus has to be our ark of refuge. In him we're free from condemnation. Are you found in him this evening? Are you in Christ by faith? Or are you outside of him, separated from him? Don't stay outside of Jesus. There's always room in Christ. Come and be thrilled beyond words to know no condemnation for me. No condemnation. For whom is there no condemnation? For those who are in Christ. So our three questions so far: what does this not mean? What does it mean? For whom is there no condemnation? And lastly, when is there no condemnation? When is there no condemnation? In other words, is this all just a way out there? Is this just like an all-access pass into heaven, which only takes effect once you die? Is this just a benefit for heaven that we can enjoy then? Well, look at the promise again, and it would be very easy to miss it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation. Now. You're in Christ now, and you're living in him now this evening, and he's living in you, and it's now that you're eternally free from condemnation. Right now, this evening, as you sit here, those of you in Christ, and there's not a threat of God condemning you. The moment you joined with Christ, from that moment, you're a new creature, and the old things, the old guilt, the old condemnation, it's all passed away. All things are new, new hope, new destination, new expectation. When you die, you'll see Jesus and be like him. And yes, you'll still stumble into sin again and again, but you'll never be condemned. And those condemning voices of others, the condemning voice of your own conscience, the condemning voice of Satan himself, they can assault you all you like. But if you are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation, accepted in the Beloved. And just as Jesus spoke to the woman, do you remember that woman caught in adultery in John 8? And just as Jesus spoke to her, so he says to you and I this evening, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Would we not do well to let this promise sink deep into our souls? Are they not the sweetest of all words to guilty sinners? No condemnation in Christ. For those who are in Jesus, now, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but now, there is no condemnation.